Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on a welcome rainy morning. I think we're kind of welcoming the rain. Before we get started this morning, are there any announcements that from the congregation that don't appear in the bulletin?
The session will not be tonight unless we find pressing matter, we have to call a meeting. A bunch of people are on the session are out of town, so we're not even sure we have a quorum in town. The thing at 7 o'clock tonight at Crockett Park, I'm guessing that is based on the weather. Is that right? What do they do if it doesn't, if it rains?
I think they do it anyway.
They do it anyway? Okay. That's just go at your own leisure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know you're more about it.
We're always in choir practice, so we don't need to go.
Okay. That's right. Okay. The pews are here, and they're going to share a bit with us early in the service. And then they're going on to another camp. Most of them were here at the, I guess all of them there that were here at the 8 o'clock service. And they're going on to CBYC. And that's the prayer concern, CBYC.
Okay. The registration books should be passed out. If they're not, maybe I can get someone to do that for me. And please sign in and register. Are there any first-time visitors at all? At all.
Well, this is now. We have a first-time visitor family. First service, 8 o'clock, CB and Joy, and their last name is a little difficult to pronounce. I just say CB and Joy, and approaching retirement age, so they'll stand up in prayer, and they come around and talk a long time after the service.
Okay. Since there's no first-time visitors, maybe Pete could round up two kids to light the candles. Please, or someone, would be greatly appreciated. I don't think there's any other announcements, unless you all have some.
It's
6:45. Okay. Do we have any prayer concerns from the congregation?
Cumberland Presbyterian Youth Fellowship, the denomination-wide camp near Centerville, begins this afternoon. Some of the workers have already been there since Friday, so lift them up in prayer. The whole camping experience there. We have two carloads of teenagers who are going with some adults driving them. So lift them up as they travel there. So it rains a lot that way, and maybe promise to rain some more. Okay.
Okay, Sherry. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lynn. Okay. Okay. Are there any other prayer concerns? Okay. Who? Yes, ma'am. Right. Okay. Okay, Melanie.
Praise and thanks that our mission group got back safely from Puerto Rico, and that welcome continues to pray family.
Richard Leffler from the other street will be Dr. Cleary. And Nolan Tadfield is with another mission group that ministers to teenagers who have had very bad life situations. And they're preparing a camp for them, I think, in Missouri. So he's with a bunch of people we don't know, but praying for all these groups going out there, being the hands of Jesus.
Okay, Jesse. Okay. If there are no more prayer concerns,
I miss you, by the way. Oh, Jane. Wade's mom's having surgery Wednesday. What's that? Ruby Clemens.
Okay. Ruby Clemens is having surgery Wednesday. Okay. Is there anybody I missed? If not, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer to prepare our minds for worship. Amen. Right now, we're going to divert a little bit from the bulletin, and the youth are going to talk about a little bit about their trip, the ones that want to say something. So those that are going to be talking about the trip, if they would like to come forward.
Well, for those who don't know, we just got back from Puerto Rico. We spent a week there, and I don't know about the rest of you, but for me, it felt like 4 weeks or a month, or it felt like so long. And I mean, that could be because it was really, really hot, or the fact that they wouldn't let us flush our toilet paper down the toilet, or I don't know, the thousands of ant bites that I think I got, or anything like that. But it was hard, but at the same time it was so rewarding and just so awesome. We all experienced just Christ's love for us so much throughout the week, and we really got really close, and we just learned so much about each other and God that it was just really amazing. I'm holding this cross here. They asked us before we went to they asked all the groups coming to make a cross, and this cross is actually from a mother and daughter who are from a church in Missouri. They're in my work group, and they're some awesome people. They just had such a great bond, and they're so funny, and I had a great time with them, and they worked really hard on it. The theme was Love Out Loud. That was our theme for the week. And then our verse on the back here, our verse of the week was 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. And then our group, Jenkins, and I guess, the Columbia Presbytery from Middle Tennessee, we made a cross out of things we found in Puerto Rico. It was a couple, I think, like seed, it was like giant seed pods off a tree. We found two of them and tied them together with a guy's, he gave up part of his sheet for that he was sleeping on to tie it together in a flower. And we put a coconut in the bottom to help it stand up. And it was really cool. I guess it helped everyone it helped us all be reminded of just the beauty of the country the place we were in, and just Christ's love for us and how he shows that through his creation. And it was a great week.
So when we first got there, we were all asking each other, you know, what are we doing here? You know, why are we working at this specific place? It doesn't look like they really need our help. And we kept asking and asking and asking. And by the end of the week, you know, we were having our praise and share circle, which we did every night. And Miss Pam stood in the middle and she said to us, "Now you know why we came here." And the whole week we were talking about, we had a different theme every day. And the first one was just to serve. And we learned that, we learned a lot about serving where we were and just not trying to look at what they already have, but trying to help them with the things that they can't do by themselves. And that taught us a lot. And the next week, just about risks, and we learned about just, you know, all the sacrifices that we were making. And forgiving was another huge thing for us. And, you know, it was very important that we, you know, we came as a group in a presbytery. And, I mean, everyone already knows that, you know, the Jenkins group is like a family. We act like a family. We fight like a family. And but the cool thing was that we were actually with our presbytery this time, and we got a whole lot closer with each other. And the last day, you know, we were talking about how we should get together on fifth Sunday, every fifth Sunday, and do something at the presbytery. And, you know, we didn't even hesitate to just say, "Oh, yeah, you know, we're there. We're going to do it. We're going to hang out. We're going to spend time." And I think that's the reason why we went down there, was just to learn how we could serve and how we could take risks and just growing closer together. And it was very hard for us, like, at some point, but, you know, the complaints, there hardly were any complaints. You know, everything that we sacrificed for that week, you know, not being able to flush toilet paper down the toilet and not being able to have sweet tea, like, all the time, that was probably one of the hardest things we had to do, was, you know, give that up. But just, you know, being together and spending time together. And we each had a crew. We all were in a specific crew, and we were the biggest group there, so we would be with at least one other person. But we were all in different crew with other people from, like, Virginia, from D.C., from Philadelphia, and other places. And we really got to know each other, and I felt personally in my crew that, you know, even the first day when we met each other, we already knew each other. We were already so open with each other. And by the end of the week, we were just, you know, we were like, "Yeah, we're going to keep in contact," and, you know, everything like that. And I just feel like, you know, we really, really just grew closer with these people, you know, in other parts of the U.S. And that was a big blessing. And I'm sure that, you know, one of us over here are going to talk about the God sightings, which were, you know, just things that we, every day we talked about God sightings. And pretty much what they were just things that we saw God, you know, working in, and, you know, we talked about it. And for me, the God sighting of the whole week was just the whole camp, the whole trip, everything that it meant to all of us, and everything that we learned out of it, and just how close we became. And that was just very, very, very important and a huge blessing. So,
as Jade mentioned, we had these God sightings. Basically, just a little bit more about them. They're just something that you see in someone or something just throughout your day, something that you see God working through. And everybody else, it was me and Miss Pam, and we had like four or five other people that was on a different project. Everybody else worked in a botanical garden, and we painted a lady who's native to Puerto Rico. We painted and scraped her house. And she had two kids. She had a son and a daughter, and the son was 7 and the daughter was like 11 or 12 or something. And she, the woman, she spoke very little English, and the children didn't speak any English at all. But we kept, you know, trying to speak a little bit of Spanish, which kind of worked, kind of didn't. I mean, she thought we were crazy, but she understood what we were trying to say. And the little boy, we would try to, you know, tell him, "Would you like a piece of candy?" And then we'd say it in English, or in Spanish, and then we'd say, "This is candy," and try to teach him a little bit of English. It didn't really work because he was really shy. But we gave him a little book that it had like little colors in it, and it talked about God in it in Spanish. And he read it, and I guess he really enjoyed it. But by the end of the week, he had asked us for a few more of the Spanish ones to give to his parents and some English ones to go along with it because he said he wanted to learn English. And it was just amazing for me that we had had that much of an impact on him that he would want to learn a whole other language, which he probably won't ever use in this country. But it was just really special that we got to meet this kid. And we actually went out and tried to buy him a Frisbee. Well, this girl that worked with us gave Miss Pam money to buy the kid a Frisbee. And Miss Pam bought the Frisbee and, you know, gave the girl her money back. And the girl, her name's Amber, she insisted that Miss Pam keep the money. And Miss Pam wouldn't do it, but she kept it anyway. And we were driving home, and I think it was a woman. It was a woman. There was a lot of beggars on the street, but she had her little cup out, and she was walking by us in the car, and Miss Pam pulls out the $4 out of her pocket and goes, "Look, I can use this for something useful." Stuck it in the woman's cup, and the woman didn't even look in the cup until after she had passed the car, and then she looked down and saw it was $4 bills, and she looked back at us with the biggest, brightest smile and the biggest eyes I've ever seen. It was just so heartwarming that we were down there to serve these people, and they really appreciated it.
Jade touched on that a lot of us got to our work site and didn't really understand why we were there. I think a lot of us, including Ms. Pam's son, Jordan, we all had a different purpose for being there. Some, yeah, their purpose for being there was building the bridge in the jungle. I mean, that was not fun. But I think Jordan had a different purpose. He went and really wanted to work with the people of Puerto Rico and got on the team to build a bridge. He said that he had got a calling to talk to one of our youth because he had kind of felt like he knew what he was going through and he could, you know, help him turn his life around. Jordan and I talked a lot during this trip, and I really think Jordan's heading in the right direction, and I think that even though we didn't go all down there for to build a bridge in a jungle, but we all have a purpose, and I think we all fulfilled our purpose there. So.
Okay, it was hot, so hot. The humidity so bad you can't wash the humidity off of you. The minute you're in the shower, you get out and it's sticky again, to the point that your bedclothes are wet. Okay, it just hangs in the air. The showers were lukewarm, to say the best, usually cold. Okay, compared to what we're all used to, we were completely out of our comfort zone. Yet, I did not hear these kids complain. A gripe here and there, okay, but I'm talking a continuous, "I want to go home, I hate it here." Most everybody, they tell me I got the easy job because I was in charge of the crew, and I didn't do it. I said, "God put me there for a reason, y'all. I didn't choose to paint this lady's house and not be in the jungle somewhere." But there was only one crew that was at a person's house, and that was me and Jesse Maddox and one of the other guys, Daniel, that's in the Columbia Presbytery, and then a lady from Pennsylvania and a girl from Chicago. And we painted a lady's house. Her and her husband both worked for the city, but it has only been in the last year that they have actually gotten jobs because they had gotten themselves educated and gotten jobs, and they had acquired this new home through like a Section 8, what we consider a Section 8 here. And so we were there helping her prepare this. Actually, it was a pretty nice home, but it was run down and had some repairs that had to be done. So we helped scrape the outside of her house and paint the outside of her house. And they think it was really easy. But her house stood on a mountain at a 60-degree angle, straight up. I mean, it was straight up. There were no level spots anywhere. And it's like they do on a mountainside there, it's stucco housing with flat roofs. And there's, it looks like three levels, but it's just the way you have to climb to get to it. So we were on ledges just big enough for our feet, painting. When you painted, you literally had to push against the wall and do this. Okay, so it was pretty, it was out of my comfort zone. I don't like, I'm old, y'all. I don't climb heights anymore. Okay, but they got me on a roof. They got me on the roof. And every time I'd say, y'all, I can't get up there, somebody would go, oh, yes, you can, Miss Pam, come on. And I'm like, okay. At one point in time, Amber Love, that was on our crew, Amber and I were standing on this little bitty ledge painting, and I couldn't reach the paint. And I said, Amber, would you please put my brush in the paint and hand me some more? Sure. So she turns around, and she starts painting me. And there's nothing I can do but stand there. I can't move. Another time on that ledge, there was just a little chip, and it dropped off. And I happened to step back on that, and I started to fall. It scared me so bad. My heart was in my throat. Amber, who was, her and Jesse were our comedy relief of the week. Amber goes, I'm really thirsty, Miss Pam. And you know, if you had fallen, we would already be sitting down. Like, yes, so much love, so much love. But it was a great trip. The guys in the jungle, you know, a lot of these kids went because they wanted to directly work with the people of Puerto Rico. And they worked in the botanical gardens, which the Cabos is a poor area, and they're trying to start their tourism and to bring jobs and money into their economy. So they didn't quite get why they were working in a botanical garden. And then we finally realized through the week that these mission trips are not, sometimes they're not about the mission that you think you're going to do. Sometimes it's the what God is trying to teach you. Sometimes the mission is you. And you can learn so much from the people around you, and you can touch somebody's life. Like I said, we were with people from West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and you touch people's lives. Amber, who just graduated from high school last year, that was on my crew, we exchanged numbers, and I fully intend on staying in touch with her. She took a piece of my heart. And it was an awesome experience. Everybody was out of their comfort zone. We were so glad to get home to air conditioning. We had no air. I mean, it was just, it makes you a lot more appreciative of what you've got here. The only thing, I'm going to finish because I know y'all need to get started so you can go home to lunch, but you guys don't realize what a great youth group you have here. These kids are awesome. As rowdy as they may get sometimes, they have a heart for Christ like you would not believe. They reach out, they touch people, they gather them into their group, and they truly are a family. And like they said, they fight like brothers and sisters, but they love each other like brothers and sisters, and they love anybody that comes in their area. And I mean, it just amazes me. It amazes me how they just bond. And it's all like they've all been together their whole life. So it's a blessing to me. It does. It's a spiritual lift for me when I go on these trips because I see the future, and the future is good. The future is good. We had one in our group to accept Christ this week. And that would be Mr. Travis Trammell accepted Christ this week. And he's a little shy. He don't want to talk about it. But that's a praise. Travis accepted Christ this week. So if you ever get a chance to go on one of the trips with us, I highly encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and do it. Because Susan's driving. Well, Susan, gosh, poor Susan. Anyway, the driving itself was a step in faith because Puerto Ricans are worse than us. If there's four lanes of traffic and the exit's over here, and there's 10 Puerto Ricans in the far left lane that need to get off on that right exit, all 10 of them come across the lane to the exit. They don't get in a line like we do. They just, phew! It was a nightmare. But anyway, we got back safe. It was a great trip. Keep us in your prayers, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
come into his presence and he's hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come into his presence singing hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come to me, Jesus invites.
We come to you.
Come to me if you are tired.
We come to you.
Come to me if you carry burdens.
We come to you.
Come and discover rest for your souls. Stand with us as we turn to number 103. We'll sing the first and the last stanza of 103 for our opening song. Go to God in prayer. Lord God, your name is wonderful. Your name is Counselor. And we come before you as your humble people in need of your presence, in need of your blessings upon our life, but in need of expressing ourselves before you. Thank you for calling us, O Lord. Thank you for inviting us to be a part of your kingdom and fellowship with you. And thank you for putting us together with other Christians that we might enjoy Christian fellowship. But Lord, thank you for sending us to the people of the world who do not yet know you. And Lord, we pray for your leadership and your guidance and your inspiration and your motivation, oh Lord, that we will not just enjoy the rest that we find in you, but that we would enjoy the work that you call us to do. Thank you for these young people who have come to share their experience. Bless them as they travel to another experience for this week. And bless us in our worship here. And we pray in Jesus' name, praying now as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
If you will follow along with the Apostles' Creed, it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From which he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Call to confession is from Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The prayer of confession is in unison, if you'd like to follow along. God of loving grace, we admit that we are not always as kind and accepting as
Christ calls us to be.
We yearn to extend the hand of friendship, but sometimes shy away. We cry for peace on earth, but sometimes wage war in our own cruel ways. We seek community and love, but then offer only small parts of ourselves. When we are afraid, strengthen us to bravely reach out to others. When we are angry, love us that we may be kind and forgiving. When we are sad, comfort us that we may seek new joy. Where we are in doubt, encourage us with your steadfast faithfulness. Forgive us when we are not the welcoming disciples you yearn for here on earth. Guide us to walk in your ways, that we may truly love and accept others, even as we have been loved and accepted by you. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness is from 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation.
So turn, please, to page 338, and we'll sing the first and fourth verses of At Calvary.
Offertory sentence this morning. Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. If the ushers will please come forward.
Let us pray. Lord God, we come this morning knowing that You are all power, all wealth is Yours. Lord, You are wisdom, and You have imparted wisdom to us, made it available to us. Might and honor and glory. Lord, they all belong to You. And Jesus was slaughtered that He might be given by those who believe the same to Him. Thank You for the privilege of being a believer. And thank You that we can offer to You blessings and glory and honor. And we pray that You would so direct our gifts, only being a portion of what You have given to us, so direct them that Your name will be glorified on this earth and people will be prepared for eternity in heaven. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move He made. When the world grows deep, in our questions that the answers turn to around us, and the end begins to fall. The cold and the evil cease to blow, and there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel. The attempt to break us does not work. Where we
Children's Chime with Mr. Mike and Miss Mary Jo, and then after that we'll have Children's Church with Miss Jennifer.
We'll say this may be Miss Jennifer's first time to do Children's Church by herself, at least. So if she screams real loud, go help her, and just offer a lot of prayers for her as she goes. Okay.
sometimes wonder if what you're about to say is the right thing. I thought about this this week. Mary Jo insisted that I do it this morning. She had a couple of ideas, but having seen the older children, if I can call them that, they'll always be children. These children that went to Puerto Rico, I believe that what I'm about to say this morning is the right thing. So without further ado, I'll just say what I've got to say. Okay. Everybody here likes to play, don't you? You like to play with dolls. You like to play soldier. You like to play in a treehouse. You like to ride your bike. You like to go to the swimming pool. You like to play, don't you? Everybody likes to play. I like to play too. Okay? We've established the fact that everybody likes to play. Okay, that's good. It's a good thing to know how to play and play well and get along with others. But I want to talk with you and talk to you about something else. And that's about work. When mom or dad asks you to clean your room, to take out the garbage, to help with picking up things out on the lawn so that they can cut the lawn, cut the yard with the mower, pick up the trash out in the yard, or if they're cutting limbs, picking those up and hauling them out to the street or whatever. Try to do whatever you do and be the best that you can be at what you're doing. You'll never be satisfied. My daddy and my mom both taught me how to work. And I believe I know how to work and know how to work well. Did you see the bigger boys and girls up here this morning that went to Puerto Rico? Well, they found out how to work in a different way. They learned how to work and help someone else. And by helping someone else, they gave their time, they gave the efforts of their hands to help someone else have a better home, a better place, a better life, to bring tourism, to bring other folks to their little island there so that they can get some money, so that they can live there. Point I'm trying to get to is that whatever you do, do it the very best you can. You'll be satisfied. You'll be content. You'll be doing what God wants you to do. And it will be honest and it will be good. Knowing how to work is a virtue. It's a good thing. And with that, I'm going to read one piece of scripture. And it comes from Ecclesiastes. Chapter 5, verse 19. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. And that just simply means whatever you've done with your hands, God gave you eyes to see with, ears to hear with, feet and hands to walk and to touch things and to do things with. And it doesn't matter if you're out in the woods and he gives you a log to sit down. Be thankful that God gave it. If he gives you a pool to swim in or a bike to ride, if you've worked for it, be happy that you've done it and that God helped you because he gave you the strength. Let's go here and sing a song.
Our summer Mother's Day Out program, and as you may not realize, but we have a school-age group of up to 30 children who come up to third grade age, and some of you were there. And we've been singing, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, during our summer classes. So if you remember the devotion students, and very many people out there want to make the devotion, I'm just leading the singing.
Who knows the devotion? And it's number 4 in your book, or we have it on the screen. Oh,
privilege it is to have children, to love children, to teach children, and most of all, to teach children about you, God, and about Jesus, who came to live and teach and led children, loved children, and gave his life for all his children, and that's every one of us. Father, I praise your name, and I praise the work that the older children, the teenagers, did in Puerto Rico. Bless me, Father, and bless those who they went to work for. And I ask you to bless all these that are in this circle right here this morning. Let them grow. Let them learn to work. Let them learn to be happy and contented and satisfied in the work that they do. Lord, just teach them and bless them. Most of all, let them learn to work for you. God bless these children. God bless us.
Scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew 18:21-35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times, Jesus answered. I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Excuse me. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debts of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart.
I know we took up a great deal of time with the young people. It was so important that we do that. I think they went off and worked for a week and had a great experience, did they not? I will try to be brief this morning and get you out by my time, 11:30. We'll talk about forgiving. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And I don't have a screen here for some reason, so I will have to turn this away to keep up with you. I want you to keep up with me. And I ask you if you made a list of the 10 greatest needs of the church. The 10 greatest needs are the 10 things that this church needs the most. It could be this church, or it could be church universal, church in general, or church down the street. You've been to that church and you said, well, they need this. But in particular, this church, because this is where we are today and what we're involved in. If you don't want to listen, you can just take out a note card and write these down while I talk to the rest of the people. I hope you won't do that, but you can do that mentally or you can do it on paper. What are the 10 greatest needs of the church? Forgiveness is high on my list. Forgiveness. I'm convinced that the church, the world, but the church is not to be the leader in Christian things, and it is a Christian thing to forgive. It's a Christian act, and we have to be the leader in this. We're the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and we have to lead out ahead of the non-Christian world to show them what it's like to be a Christian. Do we not? Yes, we do. I talked about forgiveness on June the 22nd that I didn't get through, and I promise you I won't get through today. We don't know when we'll finish this up. Forgiveness. Think about forgiveness, if you will, and Jesus shed His blood for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus came to earth. He left heaven. And if heaven is anything like I have heard it is, like the Bible teaches it is, wow, He left a great place and came to a terrible place in so many instances. The earth is wonderful, but compared to heaven, it doesn't hold a candle. Is that right? We're looking forward, I hope, to an experience in heaven. Maybe we could fulfill or have fulfilled the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, that His kingdom would come on earth while we're still on earth, like it is in heaven. But we have yet to see it. People are not getting better. They're getting worse. Situations are getting worser and worser. And right now we are going through some fearful times, to say the least. Some fearful times. Okay. Jesus came to earth. Jesus shed His blood. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 8, where He instituted the Lord's Supper, He said that His blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sin, or that we might know the forgiveness of sin. So we can't get into heaven if we're sin. God is the pure eyes and to behold iniquity. So sin cannot enter into the presence of God. So if we want to be in heaven in the presence of God, we have to be forgiven that sin. And Jesus came to earth to forgive us our sin. And He taught that He was here, and He teaches even now. Through the Word, and hopefully through this sermon, He teaches the necessity of us forgiving those who sin against us. Today's lesson is as good a lesson as we'll find anywhere where Jesus is teaching us the necessity of forgiveness. And it also says, if we expect to be forgiven, we must forgive. God's forgiveness is conditional. His love is unconditional. He loves us. He begs for us to be forgiving ourselves, to trust Him as our Lord and Savior, to let Him save us. But He requires that we forgive those who have wronged us, or sinned against us, or trespassed against us. Also, in the Lord's Prayer, there's a prayer He taught His disciples to pray. First century disciples, 21st century disciples. He taught us to pray for Him to forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors, or those who have sinned against us. And then the only phrase in that He expounds upon is the one on forgiveness. Does not say, if you can't forgive those who trespass against you, your trespasses or your sins won't be forgiven.
Read it.
Matthew chapter 6. Go find it. Go find it. But have forgiveness really caught on? Has forgiveness really caught on? The people that you know, maybe it has in your life, but people you know, has it caught on? Has people begun to forgive? Forgive anyone who offends them. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, those who have done something wrong against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. In society in general, in the church. What about forgiveness? Has it caught on? We hear people say things like, speaking of a man most of the time, I may have heard it about a woman too, a person, and they say about a person, he is such a good person, and they heap accolades upon him, and they talk about what a straight person he is and how you can trust him in a deal and he will not do you wrong. But then they will say of him, but if you ever do him wrong, he will not have anything to do with you ever again. In other words, he burns the bridges. He cuts the relationship. He don't want to have anything to do with anybody that's ever done him wrong. You've heard it said about people, have you not? You may have known somebody like that. One woman that I know, still know, in one of her claims to fame, I burned the bridges after I crossed over them in relationships that have gone a little sour. And she was kind of proud of this. She burned the bridges. But, you know, she may need to walk back across those bridges sometime. She may need to go back. She may need to go back. And I think Jesus says, don't burn the bridges. Go back across the bridges and restore those relationships. Or, it will be said, I've heard it said, I'll never forgive him, or I'll never forgive her, and for whatever it was that they did. If you heard it, you may have said it. I hope not, but if you have, I hope you'll have a change of heart this morning, if that is a part of your speech, or your thinking, or the way you live. If there's something that you have against somebody that you've even said, I'll never forgive them for that, I hope you'll change your mind right now. Or very soon. I don't know who's got it. I don't know. That's a pretty general statement, but I've heard it over and over. I'll never forgive them. I'll never forgive him. I'll never forgive her. Most of us would rather get even than to forgive. And I'm going to tell one little story that I discovered. Somebody else shared it with me. And it happened in a confirmation class, or a church membership class in a church. And the preacher was teaching about the Lord's Prayer. And they got to the phrase, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As we think about that, we've heard it said, to err is human, and to forgive is divine. But there are many versions of that saying. And this preacher quoted, to err is human, to forgive is darn near impossible. Have you experienced that? It's difficult to forgive. I have never said that it was easy to forgive. I even have a prescription for forgiving. Has to be another week. To err is human, to forgive is darn near impossible. And this preacher said that they were discussing the Lord's Prayer in the confirmation class, and got to that phrase, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and they begin to talk about turning the other cheek and other related passages from the Scripture. And these were quite interesting for the adolescents to talk about, but they had not practiced them much in school. And here's a conversation that went on between a young man and the preacher. So the boy says, "But if someone smacks me and then asks me to forgive him, do you mean I don't get to smack him back?" "It doesn't seem right, preacher, for someone to hit me and then I don't get to hit him back." So the preacher says, "But do you mean if this kid hits you, it's like you owe him a hit back?" And the boy said, "Yeah, if he hits me, I owe it to him to hit him back." So the preacher says, "So you're saying it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth?" And the boy responded, "That sounds right to me. Then we're even. That's more fair." The preacher said, "Well, Jesus said that we have to forgive and not get even. What are we going to do about that?" And the boy thinks for a moment, and he was in a Sunday school class, and he was about to become a member of the church, and he wanted to be right, but you know, it's difficult sometimes. So the boy responded, "How about if I smack him first and then forgive him?" That's the way we think. But that's not the way Jesus teaches. And we'll stop right there and finish this somewhere down the road. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you that we're forgiven, that our sins are not held against us, that you have removed our sin from us as far as the east is from the west, all the way on the other side of the earth. And you're not remembering them against us anymore. Thank you, Lord, for forgetting everything that we've ever done, because Jesus paid for it all on Calvary. Now, Lord, we pray, just pray that you will instill within all of us that ability to forgive. Let your Spirit so permeate our lives and our hearts and our thinking, our being, that we can be forgivers as well as receivers of forgiveness. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The song is 371, and it's "Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way." And maybe you want to kneel here at the kneeling bench as we sing, or even after we sing. If you come and you're here and we pronounce a benediction, we'll slip out very quietly. Maybe you want to talk to somebody about forgiveness. Me or someone else. Maybe somebody you want to go to and offer your forgiveness. This might be the opportunity that God has given you. 371. One and, is it four? One and four. Thank you.
this ones are back here, and they're kind of new to us. And the rest of them have been around a while, and the Campbells are back after a long vacation. So, good to see all of you. Go in the peace of God. Bless you.